Jesus, that we do give thanks to you today. We are nothing without you. Behold, we can be everything with you. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, the Bible tells us. Today, we are here before you with some praises on our lips, but Lord, sometimes cares on our hearts. So help us remember what 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all our care on him, for he cares for us. So Lord, help us to cast our cares. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So Lord, help us to cast our cares and our burdens and our frets and our worries and our sins and all those things on you. And in return, we receive grace and goodness and mercy and forgiveness. So bless our hearts today. We thank you for this week. Praise you for the things you give us. Now bless our service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Steve Lennon, good to have you today. We always welcome. It seems like where some people can't make it, God will give us somebody. I think it's cool. We got this sort of balances us out. It seems like if we ever had everybody that showed up, we had 31 one Sunday, had about 16 another Sunday. We have we go back and forth, but you know, God just says be faithful. So here we are. And some Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." So if you're redeemed, say so. But I can look around, so I'm glad that you're here today, and we're going to talk about giving thanks. Jennifer says she praised the Lord. She had a knee operation just a couple weeks ago, and she's up walking around better than ever. Sometimes that stiffness can bother you, especially when you're told that she feels great, so that's a praise.
Amen.
So I'm just thankful that Mark's been up, you know, 22 hours in a row. I mean, he's here, so God gives us gifts. Thank you. And Marie and Linda are back there in the back holding down. That they're faithful. You know, I'm grateful that y'all are holding down that side. Y'all got the middle. And Trish and Perry want to sing every time they come in. But we just hold y'all down. If y'all got a Bible, Mark's going to give you one. If you don't, we're going to turn. There are two books in the Bible that are about women. We just finished the book of what?
Esther.
Yes. So today we're going to turn to the book of Ruth. The Bible is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. So if you need a Bible to follow along, we're going to go to the book of Ruth. We are going to, I'm going to give you a chance to sleep here in a minute, Mark. If you've got a Bible, you can Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, the eighth book. We're going to look at this and say, I thought we'd talk about Thanksgiving. We will. Things to be thankful for. Faith, family, and friends. Faith, family, and friends. Is that in order? Yes. I love my family, I do too, but God comes first. When Andy got married, he, you know, he thinks of Lindsay as his second most precious gift. What's his first? Jesus.
Amen.
Y'all got to put him first, you know. So, faith has to come first. Hebrews 11:6 says, "For without faith it is impossible to please God." But, I like that second part. But he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if you seek him, you'll what?
Find him.
You'll find him. That's a promise by God. God doesn't lie. You know, as the old preacher said years ago, he said, "God said it, I believe it, and that settles it." And the older preacher said, "God said it, and that settles it, whether you believe it or not." And it does. God says, "I will reward those who diligently seek him." So faith has to come first. And then I'm thankful for family. You say, but we can lose people. I showed, you know, a picture up there, and Mark doesn't have two of those people in that picture that's just a few years ago, but he's still thankful. And the reason why, I guess, I told Mark he comes to mind, I sound like either bragging on him or cussing him. No, Mark, I'm not cussing him. But Mark came to mind this week because Lindsay, my daughter-in-law, said she writes me, and if I think about that long enough, you know, I'll start getting teary-eyed, but I'm the only grandpa he has. So I got to be around forever. As long as God
Lindsay's dad died of a heart attack, probably in the mid-50s. That's young. Sat down one night and said, I just want to rest. Put his head over on his wife's shoulder and had a heart attack and passed away right there. Andy and Lindsay were in Auckland, New Zealand. I had to call and tell Andy. Andy had to tell Lindsay. And so they came home for that. So I'm thinking, I'm thankful that I'm around for Jimmy. Lindsay calls the other day, like, what do you think I ought to do? I'm thankful that she asked me advice. She says, I called a local funeral home and being a chaplain in the Air Force. I said, there's bound to be people there that need help at the time of the funeral. They called her back that day. We need a funeral. Yeah, there's families that need people. And matter of fact, can you do a funeral service like in the next week? That's like, do y'all need any help? Yeah. Oh, it's like calling from a gift. And they almost, so she gets to do a funeral service next week. She said, I've never done one of those. And so I said, Lindsay, go online, on YouTube, no less. I remember I did Mark's, well, Jimmy, his dad, and help me one,
Nancy.
Nancy, his wife. I should know that because when I was coaching and teaching out in Roanoke Valley, those boys went through that phase of calling each other their mom's name. So they would call, hey, Nancy. Mm-hmm. Kevin turned around, hey, called Todd's wife. I mean, called Todd and asked, you know, called Mark and L. Barber. I said, Nancy Camper and Jimmy Camper. I did the funeral service. I said, go on YouTube. And Lindsay did, and she can watch the service I did for Mark's mom. She said, oh, this is perfect. I thought, I don't know. You ever watch yourself? I don't like to. Because she realized, oh, I could have done that better and done that better. And I said, okay, there it is. So Lindsay's going to watch it. And I gave her some tips. But she said, she used to minister to a family she's never met before. You think God can use you? Be thankful for family. And Lindsay's going to comfort a family. So I'm just grateful for family. I'm grateful for you guys. So that, you know, here's a last category. There's a friend. There's a friend that's closer than a brother, the Bible says. By the way, who is that for us? That's Jesus. He sticks closer than my brother. I know my brothers, and I grew up with them. Jesus says, I love you, Edgar. Even though I know all about you, so give thanks. Let me give you a couple things. I'm going to look at the story of Ruth today to see all three of these things. What are the three things again? Here's our quiz. Our faith, our family, and our friends. We're going to have all three in this story. Faith, family, and friends. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You don't have to turn to that, but I just thought I would at least give you this. I love this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, but what if I have cancer? He still gives me victory. What if I have? He still gives us victory. I don't know how he does that. He just enables us. And some people say, you know, I just don't feel that dying grace. You know what I would say back to him, Cheryl? You're not dying. When do you get dying grace? When you're dying, you know. I just don't feel this or don't feel that. Well, it's not about what you feel anyway. Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross, but he did. You know, so Jesus says, not my will, but what?
Thy will be done.
So we don't go off of feelings. Billy Graham says our feelings change like a weather vane on a barn. If you go by feelings, you're going to be tossing back and forth. And James says, don't be tossed like the waves back and forth. But thanks be to God who gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast and immovable. Always excel in the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. God sees you. You say, well, nobody else. God sees you. And God will reward you. God knows what you're doing. So you just be found faithful. May all who come behind us find. Naomi had it all. Naomi lost it all. Naomi got bitter. Naomi got better. Naomi got blessed. This is Ruth chapter 1. Who in the world is Naomi? I'm glad you've asked. Let's find Ruth. And we're going to read through this. Joshua judges Ruth. Chapter 1 of Ruth. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died.
So much for praising God. Let's get mad at him. The deaths occurred. No, let's keep reading the story now. So far we've got in the days the judges ruled, there's a famine. A man from Bethlehem in Judah moves his family. Since there's a famine, he went to live a while in the country of Moab. They moved there, and the next thing you know, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. So they married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other one Ruth. And after they lived there about 10 years, guess what? Mahlon and Chilion died. Chris, Gutcher is being mean to Naomi, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got three women living together now.
Ugh.
So there's no husband, there's nothing with that alone. All right, what did you say? Christ is tragedy. No, the dad, the patriarch of the family's gone. Two sons, the two sons get married, they die. So now we've got basically a mom and her, stretch it, her two daughters, they're not quite her daughter-in-laws. But so what do we do now? We give up and fuss and cuss at God, right? This is what Job's wife told him to do when things were going bad.
Curse the Lord and die.
It would have been good to praise the Lord, but what's his wife say? Just
curse the Lord and die.
Curse the Lord and die is what her advice was to him. What a great wife. Curse God and die. Sounds like a good plan. No, it doesn't. Okay, what are you going to do? Rubber meets the road now. You don't have what you used to have. Well, when she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughter-in-laws prepared to return home from there with her two daughter-in-laws. She left the place where she'd been living, set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. They're going where? They're going home. Guess where some people will do for Thanksgiving? They'll go home. I don't know why. No matter how old I get, how big I get, how young, I can walk in a brick house in Giles, blink back a tear and go, this is what? This is home. There's comfort there. She's heading back home. You'd think that would probably comfort. But Naomi's got a little bit of the, I'm not fussing her, we do this too. Carpenter's saying, rainy days and Mondays, what?
Always,
yeah. Rainy days and Mondays always get you down. Okay, so Naomi's going to go back and she's down. And she shows up and everybody, hey, it's Naomi, she's come home. Don't pat me on the back. Things are bad. Well, Naomi decides to go home. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-laws, you go back, each of you, to your own mother's home. You go home. I'll go back by myself. May the Lord show kindness to you as you've shown kindness. May the Lord show kindness to you as you've shown kindness, as you've shown to the dead and to me. In other words, you've been kind to my sons. You've been kind to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. In other words, go start life over. Then she kissed him, and they wept aloud. Why? Their hearts are breaking. They're saying goodbye. And they said to her, we will go back with you to your people. Naomi said, no, return home, my daughters. Why would you come back with me? You know, there's no reason for you to do that. Am I going to have any more sons who would become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, look at that. Wow, I'm hopeless. Even if I had a husband tonight and gave birth to sons, would you wait till they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is better. It is what? Bitter for me than for you. Because the Lord's hand has gone out against me. Ooh. God's against me. Really? At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But look what Ruth did. Ruth clung to it. Ruth says, I ain't going anymore. Can you imagine she gives him a kiss? Orpah, you take off. No, I don't want Ruth. Orpah, you got nothing? Oh, okay. Orpah's gone. Ruth, I love you. I know you got nothing. I'm not going anymore. I can just imagine in today's language, you know what Naomi probably says. You mean this, don't you? I'm not going anymore. But Ruth, no, we'll have none of that. Did your mom ever say that?
Mm-hmm.
No, we'll have none of that. No. I was talking to my daddy before he went to heaven a few days before that. Tear come down his cheek. I said, Daddy, you looking at the man that's going to preach you funeral? Are you sure you're going to heaven? Mm-hmm. You got Jesus in your heart?
Mm-hmm.
Can I talk you out of that? Nope. So you ready to go? Because it's here and you went, now, enough of that. You take care of your mom and you take care of your dad. Sure. That truly was the greatest generation. Don't
Hey, is he ready?
Nope, we're good.
Guess what, Ruth?
Nope.
Ruth says, nope.
Enough of that. They wept aloud, but Ruth clung to her.
Look, they said Naomi, your sister-in-law's going back to her people and to her God. Go back with her. Just let me be alone. Let me go back. I think Ruth saved Naomi's life, really, because watch what she does. Ruth says, Ruth replies, don't urge me to leave you or turn back to you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I'll die. When's Ruth plan on leaving?
Never.
There I'll be buried. May they bury me beside you. Wow. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined, it's called commitment, you bet, was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. Now with that pep talk, how do you think Naomi should feel? They jump up and down, do handsprings. Well, we're going to show up now. They arrived in Bethlehem. Whole town was steered because of them. You know, emotions are there. Naomi's home. And the women are like, oh, can this be Naomi? This be like class reunion. Andrew Moser, wow, you've changed. You lost all your hair. You lost all your teeth. You know, I'm like, okay, so I'm, well, this is it. Naomi, yeah, you do. Oh, don't call me Naomi. What's the matter? Look what she said. Don't call me Naomi. Because what's Naomi mean? Her name means pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
In the original language, her name means pleasant. Or if you think, okay, so she's pleasant. She's blessed. Don't call me blessed. Don't call me pleasant. Don't give me any of that. Call me instead Myra. Why? You know what Myra means? Bitter. A name change. Call me Myra because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. What about Ruth's thing? It's standing right over here. Wow. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back in. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth and Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. But right now, if this was a TV show and they took a break, how would you feel? You're hanging. What's going to happen to this family? Well, we got Naomi, whose husband was Elimelech, and does he know about God? Yes. Is God present in the life of Elimelech and Naomi when they moved? Yes. Is God present in the life of Ruth? No. She is from what country? Remember Moabites?
Moab.
Who in the world are the Moabites? Really, they're descendants of a... Remember when Lot left? What? Remember Lot stopping the Moab?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Lot turned. Lot didn't turn. Lot's wife turned. And what happened to Lot's wife? She turned a pillar of salt. And Lot's just grabbing his $2. And they get out of that with fire and brimstone. One behind them. The two daughters of Lot got their dad drunk the next couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And they lie with him. Mark, what's that mean? They had sex with him there. Did he know it? No, the Bible says he never knew when they laid down. He never knew when they got up. He had no idea. Why did they go to do that? They said, well, we've got to do something to preserve our family lineage here. We're going to die and not have anybody. The other daughter did the same thing. So kids were born out of that horrible relationship. Guess where those kids eventually, you know, multiply, back to Moabites. How would you like to trace that family tree? look that up in Ancestry.com.
Uh-huh.
You'd be, Dad. I didn't know it came from there. So, my point is this. Is Ruth known for the godly ways of the Moabite?
No.
And yet she's putting Naomi to shame for this from Almighty Jehovah God. Ruth says, I'm not going anywhere. And I can imagine her getting up the next day and Naomi. Oh, Ruth. Guess what? What are you waiting for? I'm going to get a job. Heard Long John Silver's is hiring. No, she's going to go get a job. So chapter 2. She jumps up and goes and gets a job. She starts gleaning and Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone whose eyes I find favor. Naomi said to her, go ahead, my daughter. Bad chance, she's not going to get a job. So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in the field belonging to Boaz, who just happened to be, coincidence, circumstantial, it's not God Almighty's in this, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Is that important? Yeah, you'll see. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. He pulls up in his Maserati. No, he pulls up in his nice Corvette. Boaz owns his field. Boaz is pretty rich, so he pulls in and gets out. He's a good boss. He's not a task, a hard taskmaster. He gets out. Everybody, how's it going? He hurts the boss. Hey, how's it going? They're all friends. He waves. Boaz arrived in Bethlehem, greeted his harvesters. The Lord be with you. Good relationship with the workers. The Lord bless you, they call back. How many people ever said, Lord bless you, to your boss? Yeah, look at all the hands up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about, Chris? God bless you, Miss Bob. God bless you back. It's basically, Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, who is that young woman over there? The foreman replied, well, she's the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. And she said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. And so she went to the field and worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. She wasn't even getting paid. She was putting the other workers to shame. I like that. So Boaz said to Ruth, goes over, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go glean in another field. Don't go away from here. Stay here. You basically found a job. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting. Follow along after the girls. I've told the men not to touch you. Nobody's going to bother you. Job security. And whenever you are thirsty, go get you a drink. Hey, make yourself part of the family. Look at that. So faith is important. Faith is important. Here's what's going to come to be. She's already got a family with Naomi. Now she's going to get a family right here. Go and get a drink from the water jars of men of the field. And at this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She said, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me a foreigner? In other words, why are you being so nice to me? Look what verse 11. I love this. My favorite verse out of the chapter. Boy, I said, I've been told all about you, what you've done to your mother-in-law. See, you don't know what God is going to use when you do something. I have no idea. I've heard all about you. Your reputation does what? It precedes you. I've heard all about you. And I don't think we said it aloud, but maybe she does not. I didn't think nobody would even know that. All know the whole town talks about you. What a great witness. I've been told all about what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you've left your father and mother, your homeland, and came to live with the people that you don't even know. May the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, and under whose wings you've come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord, she said. You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls. I'm a nobody. So it sounds like Esther, doesn't it? At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come over here. Have some bread, dip it in the wine vinegar. Make yourself at home. When she sat down with the harvesters, she offered a person roasted grain. She ate all she wanted, had some left over. She got up and gleaned, but Boaz gave orders to his men. Even as she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Don't y'all pick them. Here's about the field. Ready. Pull out some stalks for her mom. Pull out her stalks from her, from the bundles, and leave them for her to pick up. Don't rebuke her. She's picking up leftovers. Why don't y'all just happen to leave more than just the grain? Why don't y'all pull out a big, large heap of wood? Here's your extra fishing board. She's probably picking along. Here's the old skin. Wow, this grain. This would be like you going under an apple tree. You're not getting a half eaten from the deer. You're not getting a half rotten because it's later. Well, this was quite a thing. There's another. Boaz smiled. He'd leave her some good things. Rather pull out some stalks for leave her some good things. So Ruth gleaned in the field till evening, then she threshed the barley she had gathered and amounted to about an ephah. This woman's on fire working. She carried it back to her town. Her mother-in-law probably opens up a door. Bet you never even got a job. Her old apron's full. Your grandma ever do that to you? My granddaddy used to pick up an apron and carry apples and stuff in it like this.
Yeah,
it's like open up. That's why they had an apron. I only keep stuff for dress clean, but she did it. It's carry all. I've seen her bring in stuff, whether outside or whatever. She's just got this whole big thing. She opens up the door, and there's Ruth, like, wow, Naomi's shocked. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten. Thoughtful, she brought home leftovers. Your mother-in-law asked her, "Where'd you clean today? Where did you work? Blessed is a man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz." And she said, "The Lord bless him." Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, Naomi smiled. Maybe she's going to have that name change, you know. In fact, get away from being called bitter. "The Lord has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "The man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Like, what difference does that make? It'll take part here just in a minute. Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, stay with my workers until they finished harvesting all my grain. He gave me a job, Mom, so to speak. I can stay with him as long as I want." Wow. "And I was wondering what God would do to you for that. He just blessed you immensely." Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It'd be good for you, my daughter, to go with the girls, because in someone else's field, you might be harmed. You know, you're not going to get this kind of reception. God will take care of us." Does it sound like they're celebrating Thanksgiving now? Yeah. Naomi's like, she didn't say, "Oh, woe is me, I've lost my husband. Woe is me, I've lost my son." God is with us in the midst of what we might call a tough time. Naomi said, "God's with us. God's going to take care of us." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean till the barley and the wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Now, it could have been months, but is this seasonal? Sure. When I grew up in Giles, people would come down there and they'd pick apples up at Hope's Farm. Hope's Chapel, we used to call that. And they would stay there and pick all the apples up. A few months later, those people would be gone. So they're seasonal. So one day, chapter 3, one day Naomi and her mother-in-law said to her, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you? Now, I appreciate you being with me, but you got a life to live beyond where you'll be well provided for. Is not Boaz, with whose certain girls you've been working, a kinsman of ours, you know, marry into the, you know, someone we know, our family? Tonight, when he's winnowing the barley at the threshing floor, why should you perfume yourself and put on your best clothes?" What's Naomi getting Ruth to do? "I want you to look your best. And you go out and let Boaz know. He's a kinsman of them. He cares about us. Maybe that might just be a future husband for you." I wonder what Ruth's probably thinking. Not me. Remember Esther? I can't be a queen. She was. "Ruth, I want you to put yourself. You go ahead and do what I tell you. So wash, perfume yourself, put on your best clothes, go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know that you're there until he's finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he's lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. I'll do whatever you say." She's obedient, just like Esther was to Mordecai. "I'll do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor, did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. And when Boaz had finished eating and drinking, so in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly. Uncovered his feet. By the way, with the way some men's feet smell, that right there. Ruth has now passed out. No, Ruth, come. What did this? Well, if you cover someone's feet, you're taking care of them. If you uncover those, it's almost like you're giving them respect. It's not that you're bowing at their feet, but just it's like. So Ruth uncovers his feet. Watch what else happens. So in the middle of the night, something startled the man who turned and discovered, oh, a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "Why would you want to be here with me?" is what he's really saying. "I'm your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you're a kinsman and redeemer." In other words, if you care anything about me, accept me into the what? The family. Maybe they wouldn't be friends. She let him know. "Oh, Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. This kindness is greater than that which you've shown earlier." I could just take this next sentence and just pull it right out. We don't have to change it for today's vocabulary. Nothing. Look what he says. "You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor." What did you say?
Yeah.
Okay. You're not chasing. Yeah. You could go after the younger men. You could go as pretty as you are. You could have anybody. Why me? By the way, the first few months she's there, was it tough? Sure. She stuck up and then she got her a job. And let's just pretend, I don't know that she's still around. What if Orpah went by? Orpah's driving that red sports car. Hey, got two boyfriends in the car. Hey, Orpah's back to her normal life. You ever think Ruth looks up and goes, wonder if she ever thinks, maybe I should go hang on to it? for some reason, God just keeps your voice off, and now it's going to fail. So what's this man do? You not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. You haven't been selfish. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you. That's what all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you're a woman of noble character. You didn't chase after the world. Although it's true that I am near of kin, what's his kinsman redeemer? If you're kinsman redeemer, if you're the first one, you have the opportunity to marry that person. So like in the time, yes, he is a kinsman redeemer. He gives her good news and bad news right here. It says, Ruth, I am the kinsman redeemer. But I got an older brother. He's actually the one that could have the right to marry you. I bet your heart sinks right there. This being a television show where you think everybody's going to go, oh, you know, something happens. It's like, oh, Ruth. But watch what he said. Although it is true I am near kin, there's a kinsman redeemer nearer than I, so stay here for the night and in the morning. If he wants to redeem good, let him redeem bad. If he's not willing, I vow that as surely as the Lord lives, I'll do it. So lie here until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. Before anyone could be recognized, and he said, don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor. He also said, oh, bring me your shawl, about like my granny's apron, bring me your shawl that you're wearing, hold it out, I've got to send you home. He's thoughtful. When he did so, he poured into 6 measures of barley and put it on her, and then he went back to town. Didn't want her to go home empty-handed. So Ruth came home to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi's probably like, tell me all about your day. You know how y'all went on. Tell me everything. Well, I went over and I uncovered his feet. Boy, they stink. No, I uncovered his feet and I laid down and I just didn't know what to do. He got startled. He woke up and I thought, well, you know, kid. Naomi's just going, you know what the husband over here would be going like this. So, what's going on? He wants me to hang on today because he's a kinsman. But he's not the oldest one. But he's going to go in today and find out whether his oldest brother wants me or not. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, how'd it go, my daughter? Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her. And he added, and he gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. How thoughtful. Naomi said, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens. For the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Then you'll know. How nervous do you think Ruth is waiting for an answer? Y'all know the answer, should we wait for an answer? I could just leave off. To be continued. I got it. Might as well. It's Thanksgiving. Hang on. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town. Here he goes. Went up to the town gate. He sat down there. That's where the men got this. Floyd's barbershop. Might as well be. When the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, wait, come over here, my friend, and sit down. So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, say here, she's got witnesses. And they did so. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. And if you'll redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me so I will know, for no one has the right to do it except you, and I'm next in line. Bottom line, do you want the land or not? What's he hoping this guy will say?
No.
Guess what the man says. Okay, I'll redeem it. I'll redeem it. I bet you Boaz's heart just sank through his shoe. But then Boaz said, wait, thought I'd add this. On the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth, the Moabitess, don't forget you acquired the dead man's widow. And in order to maintain the name of the dead with the prophet, in other words, you don't just get the land, you get those men, and you know, oh, I didn't know that, I don't want it then. That's natural. I knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. You know Naomi. Naomi the nag, you know, that woman, oh, you know, you get her too. Oh, I just wanted the land.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what, Nikki? You sure? Are you sure? Now, he had a weird way of making a deal. They didn't shoot them. He didn't shoot them. I'll do that. I don't mind covering my feet. He says, are you sure? Yep. You can have the land. If I get the land, that means I get
rid.
So they make a deal. Watch this.
Blessed on the day you vow to Naomi from Ruth, the Moabite, you acquire a dead man's widow in order to maintain the dead, name of the dead in his property. If his kinsman redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it. It's got to be a complete package deal for you or nothing. Then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it for yourself. I cannot do it. I wonder what they all feeling now.
Yeah.
Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption to transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other one. I mean, one-shoe people walking around that town. This was the method of legalizing the transaction in Israel. So the kinsman and redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself. And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, all right, you just now heard him. He said, you can have it. Today, your witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Malion. I've also acquired Ruth the Moabitess, Malon's widow, as my wife in order to maintain the name of the dead with the property so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from town records. Today, your witnesses. He's excited. In fact, I'm for you getting excited for nothing. He's got Ruth now. Then the elders and all those at the gate said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make this woman who's coming to you in your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel, up to Jacob's son Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. And through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez and Tamar, born of Judah. Now, it just wouldn't be fair unless you read the rest of this. Look, so Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. The Lord enabled her to conceive and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you and who's better to you than seven sons has given him birth. Right here's a picture that I love. Naomi's probably sitting in there in a rocking chair looking out the window a little bit. And here comes Ruth, isn't it? Would you like to hold him? And put your baby in his foot. Naomi looks up, tears running down, and suddenly Naomi took the child, laid him on her lap, and cared for him. All those women coming by, I wonder if Naomi's just saying, hey, look, my grandson wants him. I know how that feels. He's the one living there said, Naomi has a son.
Look at him, that looks like him.
Naomi's smiling ear to ear. Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. So what difference does that make? Well, keep reading. Then this is the family line of Perez. Remember, you have your faith first. And then what's after your faith? Your family. Look at this family lineage. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron the father of Ram. Ram the father of Minadab. Minadab the father of Nashon. Nashon the father of Salmon. Salmon the father of Boaz. Or Boaz. Boaz the father of Obed. Obed the father of Jesse. And Jesse the father of David. And if you go back to Matthew, I won't get you to turn, but if you go back to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 16, if you check that lineage out, about 14 generations later, there's a man called Jesus. So you mean Ruth is the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus Christ. Think she did all right?
Mm-hmm.
You never know what God's done to her. Somewhere in the family picture there is the great, 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 and Jesus right here. There's Ruth. She'd probably be back here in the corner of the picture because she wouldn't want any attention. I think she did pretty good for having the faith. Naomi had it all, lost it all. She got bitter, but she got better, and then Naomi's blessed because she's holding that little baby that is precious to her. So give thanks. Are you thankful for your faith? Are you thankful for your family? Are you thankful for your friends? The friends of that town made Naomi feel, oh, just look at that little baby. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. That's not yourselves. It's a gift of God. God gave me my faith to even put in to be saved. Not by my works. I can't boast. We are God's handiwork. We're His masterpiece created in Christ Jesus to do good works for Him. God give us the faith that we can put in Him to be saved. family. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. God becomes my Father. I'm in the family of God. And then friends. No longer, this is touching, the disciples getting ready to know Jesus is soon going to be gone. Jesus says, no longer do I call you servants. For the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You're my friends. I wonder how the disciples felt today. We're your friends. I'm a friend of God. And he calls me friend. Faith, family, and friends for Thanksgiving. What do you think? So are you thankful? Let's pray. Thank you, God, today that you let me be in your family, your doctor. Years ago, you gave me that opportunity, Lord, through faith that you did, was in your mind. That you gave me the faith. I placed my faith and trust in you when I was 8 years old. Lord, I loved that life. I lived that life. And then in high school, I sort of thought I knew better, so I just wanted to live the way I wanted to. And finally, Lord, you told that, man, like a prodigal son, I came back home to you, and I'm glad you won't let me go. You didn't kick me out of the family. You just corrected me and disciplined me and sin and tugged at my heart. You got me back where I need to be. So today, Jesus, if someone doesn't know you, they can come to know you and be part of the family. They place their faith in you and become part of your family. And then, Jesus, you give me that compliment that you're my friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But, Jesus, I love you that you let me be your friend. So today, Jesus, here's your opportunity to be thankful. Naomi had a lot to fuss or complain about, or she thought. And after a while, she wasn't here, she was less. She held a little boy who would be generations later there. Grandfather of you, Jesus. So Lord, we just never know how you're going to work things out. So thank you for this week we can celebrate Thanksgiving. Thank you we can share with others and tell them about our faith. And I'm grateful for my family. And I'm grateful for my friends that you gave me. I'm glad I can be called your friend. So Lord, today may we ask you to draw us closer if we've drifted away. Pull us close. As a mother hen would gather her chicks, that's how you want us. Bible gives that sad story. As a mother, he would gather chicks, but you wouldn't come, is what you said to those people in the nation of Israel. Lord, may we be the ones that do come. May we count it a joy to be close to you. Lord, bless us as we go. Help us to be mindful this week when we bow our heads and pray that without you, we wouldn't have any of this. You give us blessing upon blessing. We are rich with you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.